All right, here we go. We're back with another weekly Sheep Farm podcast, or Shill Farm podcast, hosted on our bullshit platform through our Big Shill mics. It's just me and our Chris today in this two-part episode 256. The format is simple. We release a minimum of four shows a month. Members get full podcast plus download. Non-members get part one plus download, all at sheepfarm.co.uk. All shows are released on Saturdays, always on our private bullshit platform at sheepfarm.co.uk. We also put part one on Podomatic that distribute them out to Spotify, Amazon, Audible, and Apple, and a few others. Sometimes I also put part one on YouTube as well. Whether this one gets there, I don't know. I'm going to have a listen back through it again. I think it should be okay. But yeah, so the first hour and 10 minutes will be on, hopefully on YouTube. Join Chris on Instagram, and you can email us at info@sheepfarm.co.uk. Thanks for buying supplements from Elf Bunker. Remember to use the promo codes. You get 25% off being Sheep Farm listeners. But the Kids Multi, we're still running the special where it's 35% off for all Kids Multis, Lipsomal Multis. And that's it, really. I've had a few, well, I've seen a few. For the last 3 months, I've been having major outages, internet issues, and other problems based on internet connection. And so I have, this last few weeks especially, I've been without internet for about 10 days. I've just managed to get it on today, that being Wednesday the 26th of November. So I haven't been able to upload any video to the website, but I only said I'd upload every now and again to the website. It's not a weekly thing. Uploading the video of the shows on there for members. So please don't join thinking I'm going to upload video every single week, because I aren't. Also, I am, over the course of the next few months, uploading as I can the old Meet the Flockers series as well. So that I did upload Matt Hancock a few weeks ago when I actually had a bit of internet for once. And I'll probably be uploading the Chris Whitty one at some point soon as well. So yeah. That's it. All right then, over to me and Chris. See you soon. Bye. Right, here we go. We're back with another weekly Sheep Farm podcast, hosted on your very own bullshit platform through these inadequate Big Shill mic. I mean, we are Chris. We're no guest on this week, just us two reprobates doing a podcast. In fairness, I hadn't invited anybody on this week because I haven't had really any internet for the last couple of weeks, but it's been dreadful for the last 3 months, really. I seem to have got it, I've got it sorted now anyway, but yeah, it causing me untold stress in my businesses and stuff like that. but yeah, so I didn't invite anybody on in case I had to cancel them off this week. But to be fair, I'd like to do more just me and Chris podcasts. I don't know about you, Chris.
Not really. What did you expect me to answer to that?
Yeah, me too, Dom.
I didn't just mean with me. No, I'm on about in general.
I'm joking.
Yeah. I mean, if there ever was a way of compartmentalising a podcast where you recorded it on your own and I did, and I sort of merged them together and we didn't even have to talk or look at each other, that'd be like utopia.
I've got a bit of fucking shit in my teeth.
Right, it's all right. Fortunately for you, as you can tell, I haven't got the backdrop on today, so there'll be no video today. Somebody emailed in, actually. I'll put a comment on. I thought you were giving members videos now. I didn't say every week. I said when we get a chance to upload them, there will be videos. At no extra cost to members. So it won't be every week. I did actually say that about 25 times. But then again, I say this intro about 25 every week for 256 shows podcast now.
Well, I got the best one on Instagram the other day. Does Dom sell vitamins?
Only for about 8 years.
I know. I put a link and said it. Oh, thanks. And I thought, yeah. It just proves people don't tap into everything, do they? I'm guilty of that myself, to be honest with you.
Yeah. It is a strange one, isn't it? It's no wonder we're so easily led sometimes, I think.
Mm. Yeah.
Because it's impossible to pay attention to every single thing in it.
Yeah, exactly. You try, but yeah, it is impossible.
For everybody, that is, you know, for everything.
I mean, I'm lucky in a way because I get to sit in
You've got me.
Painting sculptures. And I'm pretty focused on what I'm listening to, if you know what I mean, because I'm just sat there.
You're zoned out, yeah.
Yeah, and I do absorb quite a lot of it, but if I weren't doing that...
I beg to differ.
If I weren't doing that, though, I don't know how I'd absorb a podcast myself, to be honest with you. Mm. I don't know how to take it in. It's easier when you're working, I think, when you're doing something and, you know,
yeah.
I don't know.
Well, because this has become like our life, the mission we've been set on, or I've set you on, whatever it is. I mean, Mark's mentioned, I think Mark Devlin's mentioned that it seems to be why we're here now, all of us, for some reason, doing these.
It is funny, and I never actually, because people always ask us how long we've been over the fence, down the hall kind of thing. And I think it was when we were talking to Chris, I can't remember if it was when we talked to Chris Frawl or to Guy Anderson, it might have been Guy.
Or maybe both.
But it was a realisation of how long we've actually, I was saying to Lou yesterday, I mean, I've got fucking a pile of 40 in Times magazines here. You know, Charles Fort, the guy who used to question everything, was it back in late 1800s? I can't remember when it was. But I used to collect that magazine, which was about, you know, alternative thinking, if you like, and questioning everything. And I used to get that when I was like 19, 18, 19. And it surprised me because I always kind of put the time when I jumped over the fence as Iraq War, not even 9/11. But we were already in it, weren't we? It was just, like I say, it was just like that line of little buzzers of different ones going me, 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 you know, different years and stuff. It all came together in, I suppose.
Like the, what were it, Family Fortunes buzzer?
Yeah, that's kind of what I was visualising. Yeah. Little certain things that happened. Because I even remember reading Dark Knight Returns, which is a Batman comic. You read it. I remember in there. There's a little paragraph.
On the toilet, much to
on
your
the toilet, much to my, I literally remember that. I used to fucking save all my pennies up to buy like graphic novels, which were very expensive even back then. And then I'd walk in the toilet and that twat would be reading it on can. But I wouldn't have minded if you read them and then caught up with them on the can, but you just read them on can.
Can mags.
I'd be like, what are you doing with fucking £9 graphic novel that I used to collect? I've still got them all here in the bookshelf. But I remember in that Frank Miller graphic novel, they had a little bit where they talked about Pearl Harbor being fake. You know, little nuggets like that that just key you up to the, you know, the point we're at now, I suppose.
Well, I mean, it's not just us that said this, but we've said it quite a lot. Imagine if we hadn't been that and the download would have had, say, 9/11 and you'd have got everything dumped on you, or 2020. You know, the big one for us is seeing people jump down the rabbit hole in 2020. We had it in increments, didn't we? It were gentle slaps around the face. At the time, I thought there were massive slaps around the face. There were gentle taps around the face. Whereas somebody like, say, Mike Eden or Matt Letizier or people, even Jeff, you know Jeff, don't you? That moaning git. I'm being sarky there.
Stop slagging Jeff off.
I love Jeff. But I mean, going back to even Crab Claws, where he was sat on them steps at his mate's house, and I walked up and he went, "You bastard." Because he'd realised, I've been up all night watching Two Towers go down.
I remember that Spanish guy I worked with in the brew out when I was in the brew house in Cambridge, and we were talking about 9/11. Everyone were having a go at me saying, oh, mental, you know, for my theories, whatever. And he went home and he came back next day and he goes, I watched loads of videos about 9/11. Yes, this is going back like 2013. and it was bollocks. Yeah. And he literally overnight became a conspiracy theorist. Well,
yeah.
Just by watching, you know, Wild West. Watching Wild West YouTube videos.
Yeah, yeah. But you've probably been talking to him for months.
Yeah, yeah. Well, getting to that point. We were having a conversation and he just piped up and said, "What are you talking about?" I said, 9/11 were bollocks. And he's like, no. And
then you were actually a conspiracy groomer.
I were a groomer. Funnily enough, we just went for a pizza where a mate of mine works. And he's the fella who I said caught me in the street and said, yeah, that was him, Tando.
What did he say to you?
Well, I went past his restaurant, and bearing in mind, I've not seen him through all 2020 and all the shenanigans. But he knew I was a total conspiracy theorist, you know, from working with him back in
2013. You haven't told me that you were a total.
And he saw me in the street, he goes, "Yapping now, Chris." What are we talking about? He said, yeah, but I'd never had a conversation with him about 2020. Quite funny. But I remember he was the one who came in when I was in the kitchen, I was working. Before I'd ever heard of ISIS, right? He was the one, I'd never heard of ISIS, ever. And he walked in the kitchen, he went, "Oh my God, have you heard what's happened?" I said, "What?" He said, "There's a new terrorist group, and they've got millions of pounds in bank, and they're so bad that Al-Qaeda won't even take them on." And I just burst out laughing. He's like, "What are you laughing at? They could be here any minute." And I'm like, "Come on, man. Does you actually believe that shite that you're spouting out your mouth?" Millions in bank. Worse than Al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda won't even have them.
Is that what he said? Millions in bank?
Well, that was the mantra, wasn't it, that the news were telling you. There's a new terrorist group called ISIS, dressed like fucking ninjas.
Toyota Hiluxes.
Dressed like ninjas. And, they're worse than Al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda won't even take
them. And they've got bank accounts. And cash money machines.
They've got millions of pounds in bank. That was a tagline.
Drawing it out at cash point.
Yeah. Instead of black card with eyes on it.
Come on, man. I was just going to say something then. Yeah, but anyway, we did have a gentle, looking back now, it was quite a gentle.
We couldn't be more gentle, fam. He's talking from 14, 15. Well, even younger when I saw that UFO, when I was like, 13?
Although it still was difficult because you did feel like you were out. I mean, I do remember what it was like being out in sort of the trenches trying to convince people that they were needed to look at this and look at that and do this and do that, going back 15 years ago or whatever.
My big one was seeing that UFO saw because... You know, the more you think about things, and I'm sure everyone's had strange experiences, you know, like we talk about the synchronicities and stuff, and I think that sparks something in people's head and they think about synchronicities. But once you've had something strange happen to you, and I know it sounds really obvious and stupid to say, it fundamentally changes everything. It changes your viewpoint on everything. Mm. And especially if you see something like, say a UFO, I'm not saying it were aliens, it could have been a fucking military craft, whatever it was, we saw this thing. And once you've seen that as a human being, you've eyewitnessed it, then you tell people and they laugh at you. But you know you've seen something. It changes a lot of your viewpoint on everything because
you're right. I mean,
it's a human testimony of something they've witnessed, and everyone's going bollocks, and you're like, but I saw it. Mm. No, you didn't. Well, I did. But what? So why are you laughing at me?
Why are you trying to convince me that I didn't see it?
Yeah, and from whatever your age it was, 12 to 15, I stopped talking. I didn't tell anyone about it. Then at 15, I started to talk about it again, and then. 17, 18, people are laughing at you. And then you get to 19 and you don't give a fuck. So you just tell everybody to see the reaction and see how they behave when you've told them something like that. And it just makes it interesting. It's like when you've had some kind of psychic experience or a synchronicity and you tell people, "Oh, no." Why are you saying no? Why? Why do you not?
Well, is it different from you had that jab keeled over? It wasn't jab, though, straight away. I said the other day, didn't I? Father-in-law were talking to his mate. He said, David, our mate, got jabbed because, you know, he got COVID, but he'd have got it a lot worse if he hadn't been jabbed. And he went, "He's fucking dead."
No, what it was, Fatty, he went on a holiday
and
died.
Yeah.
And I know him, you know him, and your father-in-law knows him.
Yeah.
And he said he died, and your father-in-law's mate said, "Yeah, but it'd have been a lot worse if he wouldn't have got the jab." And he said, worse, he's fucking dead. It's not funny, but
it's not funny because we knew him, you know what I mean? But it's not.
Yeah, love the block.
Well,
I mean, I knew him when I was a kid, but. Yeah. Well, I mean, I was saying to you the other day, and if these folk ever listen to this, I'm sorry if I'm insulting you, but I ended up looking after my daughter's friends and two kids, basically. I had four kids in the house looking after them because they both had flu, right, really badly. I mean, and they're friends of mine, these people. But it's the lady who had a go at me about not jabbing, not, you know, not being in quotes, anti-vaxxer.
That aged well.
Yeah, and they're both fucked with flu, and I'm guaranteeing they've had the flu jab. Yeah. I'm going to ask him. But I mean, everyone gets ill.
Well, it's been a couple of weeks, hasn't it? 10 days at least.
Well, no, that was last...
Well, last week.
Last Thursday.
Yeah.
It was last Thursday. And it was Lou who said it. She goes, how ironic.
Last Thursday were ill. It wasn't last Thursday were ill, were it?
Yeah, it was.
It was before that, though.
No, it was last Thursday, fair.
No, what I mean is you had the nippers on Thursday. But he wasn't just ill.
Oh, right. Yeah, I don't know. But I saw him at school and looked fucked. Yeah. And I said,
right.
I don't know whether he's had the flu jab, I don't know. But I'm guessing so. I'm going to ask him. He's a decent enough fella. I'm going to ask him and he'll tell me.
The amount of stories I'm hearing now, though, Chris, about, you know, one Saturday.
But Lou came over and said, how ironic. Well, look, those anti-vaxxers looking after two people who've just probably had flu from a flu jab.
Yeah.
We're looking after the kids.
Yeah.
And then they had the in school nasal spray. Hmm. And one of
only a spray.
I mean, I'm not judging anyone, by the way, in this comment, but because I'm friends with these people.
I think we're way beyond that shit.
Well, I look after the kids.
We're way beyond
I often have sisters' mates over on a Thursday, and one of her mates was off school for a week, so they had the flu spray on Friday. She was off the entire week. And the dad came around and he said, he must know my opinion because he went, I'm guessing Sissy didn't get the flu thing. And I said, no. I said, did your nipper? And he said, yeah. And I said, well, that's probably why she'd been off school for a week. No, there's other things going around though. So it was almost like he was approaching the subject with me and then denying it, if you know what I mean.
But that's the same thing as what we were talking about just a second ago, isn't it?
Yeah. He vocalized it to me and then retracted it. If you
how many times have you had that done?
I know.
Where they're sort of going down the road, then realize they're agreeing with you.
I'm interested.
Michael Jackson, moonwalk away. Yeah. I'm interested. I'm scared.
Yeah. They might as well just throw the bag in there and fucking run off.
Yeah.
Bring us back. That was straight in their arms again. Yeah. It's weird, isn't it? It's fucking weird.
And again, I hope these are observations. They're not.
Well, there's no judgment on my cops.
Certainly no judgment. I was talking to somebody the other day who had Big C last year. I didn't know somebody. And a couple of weeks ago, his wife got sepsis. What I'm trying to say is these are conversations we're having, right, locally in our small world or whatever, that we didn't have before 2020. On the sort of volume that we're having now.
Yeah. Well, I remember
that's the difference.
I remember me and you having that sepsis conversation. I think that was even pre-2025.
Oh, definitely. I used to send emails around.
We started to notice it on the back of ambulances.
Yeah. It was a big thing where sepsis deaths were increasing, which is basically blood poisoning. You're basically being poisoned. But sepsis was something somebody got on a battlefield when they'd been left in a trench for a week with a leg hanging off. You know,
now you get it just by
going in hospital,
don't you?
And it is a thing, blood poisoning. It's been a thing for a long time. It's amazing how many, you know, gangrene, blood poisoning, now sepsis. It's a similar sort of thing, but all the different names just to hide it, a bit like Gulf War syndrome and what was it in World War One? Shell shock. I know Gulf War syndrome is slightly different because it was done by the biological agents, but you could say that shell shock was done by biological agents. It weren't somebody just going into a trench and then start breakdancing, were it?
Well, I think you can get shell shock literally from not even seeing any fighting, just the constant sound.
It's your nervous system, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is it just being disrupted?
It's the Chinese water dripping torture, isn't it?
Yeah.
You don't know what's going to happen next. When's it going to start again?
I mean, going back, I mean, just this week, the guy from Stone Roses died suddenly, didn't he? Manny. Mm-hmm. And again, you come into this sort of time in the year where people are going to doctors. I had a story the other day from somebody who said, oh, what are you telling me? Well, our mate Louise, I think. Yeah, well, I think it was. You know, such and such. Just he went into doctors for a checkup. And in 2021, sorry, they sort of said, oh, while you're here, you might as well have jab. So he had jab. Then he was goosed. Never the same again. I can't remember what was wrong with him. But this were on Thursday, she was telling me this. But what I mean is, so people, he'd no intention of getting it. He went in for something else, ended up coming out, fooked.
Yeah.
And so you don't know if this guy in Stone Roses, right, has just had some kind of Bill Gates medical procedure stuck in him, or how many he's had. He might have had the COVID upgrade. He might have had the flu shot. He might have had several other things that you get when you're getting towards 60 that they give you. Oh, you might as well have this as well. And that one. What about whooping cough?
Well, that's how they get people, because if you notice in all the blurb, it says the
in fact, we've
well.
Got an advent calendar. And it's Black Friday. So
with a little syringe in each day.
A little vial in each little thing.
A little skull in one.
A little coffin in another.
Needle in another. Yeah. An eyeball. Like fucking hell. Like Nightmare Before Christmas calendar.
You can now have 24 jabs before Christmas. Yeah, just come in every day.
An extra one on 25th.
Yeah. Don't drink too much over Christmas, though, because you'll be like a sieve. But you don't know how many medical procedures you've just had, because they'll never tell you that.
No.
We've noticed, and people have noticed in newspapers, they used to tell you what people had passed away from. They never, rarely go into any detail now. No. Richard Branson's wife's just passed away.
And then you never see the story again to back it up either.
Never see anything, no.
You know, like so-and-so died a couple of weeks ago and it was because of this.
I mean, I don't follow these things, so maybe they do say something a bit more.
I dip in and out, but a lot of them don't, though. A lot of them don't.
Yeah. But, I mean, I've got pictures. In fact, I've got it open here because Jacko sent me this story. Crabclaw sent me it. And let me see if I can share it here with you. So you've got this one here, so his wife's passed away, right? And then I knew, because I looked it up a few months ago for some reason, and got Branson, Pearl Necklace Branson. There. Oh, I didn't. Oh, no. Naked.
But who's to say he didn't have it fine?
I don't know whether he had it or not.
No, what I mean is, even though it's part of the system, one thing they have learned is they're very happy to throw their own under the bus. They don't give
Of course, yeah. But look, so this is a picture. You won't be seeing this now, but this is a picture of Branson apparently in hospital, getting his jab. And down below, the writing says, "Delighted to receive my first dose, blah, blah, blah. It felt like one of the happiest moments of my life." I mean, if that ain't bullshit, right?
I mean, for a multi-fucking zillionaire, the happiest moment of his life is going into hospital and getting a fucking jab.
Yeah, I know. What a tit.
He's definitely led a very sheltered existence.
Knowing that people here in the British Virgin Islands and in many places around the world are getting protection from this horrible virus.
There he is,
with his undies on his head. There's nobody in ward, by the way. You expect a big queue, don't you? Considering that there are this killer pathogen going around the world, you'd expect that ward to be just full of people lying up floor, rolling around in agony and spewing blood up and stuff.
With this big smile behind his mask.
Yeah, he's got his stupid white teeth behind his mask. My wonderful wife and I, Joan, received the jab on Virgin Gorda. The jab is absolutely painless and the vaccine is absolutely safe.
All right, thanks, Dr.
Thanks,
Branson.
Dr. Branson, yeah.
Isn't it funny as well how they actually kind of thought, you got the impression, they kind of thought that people were having it because they were scared of the dirt.
Yeah.
They thought that was...
That's how arrogant, I think, New World Order is, because they actually think that we're not having it because we don't understand.
Because we're scared it might hurt. Or that's why they keep saying it's free as well. It's free, it's free. Because we're worried we might have to pay a couple of quid for it.
But
you're right, it's arrogance, that is fine. It's arrogance.
It's arrogance. Because
I think we're worried about how much it's going to cost and it might hurt a little bit.
Yeah.
If you got to mention a real thing and it was saving you from death, you wouldn't give a shit if it hurt or cost you, would you?
Chris, you wouldn't go out of the house because your next door neighbour would be keeled over in the fucking garden. You wouldn't have left the house.
Mm. Yeah. You'd be terrified, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Yeah, you would be. Anyway, just Theo decides to come down while I'm recording. First time I've been at a recording 10 days, and he comes down here, I don't know what he's doing in there.
Doing basketball, bouncing a basketball.
Yeah, probably, yeah. Fucking
sort of feel a little shit.
Yeah, yeah. I'm surprised I'm getting ball launched at my head. I was very proud of the sticker that you get once you've been jabbed.
Fucking grow up, Richard. How old are you for?
He got a sticker, look. There he is with his wife. I mean, I don't know what the poor lass passed away from.
Yeah.
And my condolences go out there for anybody who's passed away. I'm not... But again,
who is Branson Fat? Is he just an actor, just a guy? Is he not? He might not even be a bad bloke. You don't know, do you?
Well,
we laugh and slag him off, but...
Well, we laugh and slag him off because he's fucking stupid. He's following the New World Order mantra, whether he likes it or not.
But what I mean is, in their system, does he have a choice?
Probably not, because at that particular point, his businesses were goosed. Bear in mind, he's got airlines and things that rely on
traveling.
But he got bailed out by a lot of money, so...
That's what I mean. Does he even have a business? Does he even have a business fight? Is he just a guy? I mean, you know, the poor bastard might have been, you know, you don't know. I'm not defending him because I might be wrong. He might be right, evil bastard. But there is another side where you think, he's just an actor working for the system and working for a load of satanic lunatics, and he's got no choice.
He's got no power.
Oh, no, he's got no
power. Like, Gates haven't got any power. You know, they've got no power. They might be a gazillionaires, but they've got no power, real power. Yeah. I'm on about, you know, if whoever the family's committee of 300 says, he's going, then Gates is going.
Yeah. The only one who's got real power is that new director at FBI, and what's his name?
Pat Cash. Oh, he's a tennis player. He's probably got more power than him.
Not in his left, in his right
Cash
arm.
Patel. Cash Patel. Yeah.
Cash in Patel.
Patel, Cash, Pat Cash. Yeah, I suppose it's Pat Cash the other way around, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Cash Patel.
He cracks me up whenever he pops up with his suit on.
About 3'6".
he's basically running the FBI. Serious. Yeah.
Of course he is, yeah.
But I said before it, last one, isn't it weird that they've now brought in the face of the FBI? They've had to bring in this face of the FBI. It's odd, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because that hadn't happened for a long time, has it?
I were writing this and all, Chris. Look at this. This is, right, you'll remember this when I show it to you. That was Thelemy Partners, or Thelema Partners, whatever you want to call it, was the company that Rishi Sunak helped set up that bought into Moderna.
Right.
Very early on. Bear in mind that the American military-industrial complex, i.e. American military, invested into Moderna as well, giving them, something like $2 billion contract. That just happens normally, that, Chris, when, you know, they've never invented anything, right? Got nothing invented out, and they've just given $2.5 billion just to invent something.
I could do that. I could invent something if you gave me $2.5 billion.
Yeah, I'm sure I could as well.
They could help people as well, I reckon.
Yeah, I might even be able to get a decent studio where my youngest couldn't come down and annoy me just as a press record. Or even get some internet connectivity. But yeah, so you had Richard Branson, then Dolly Parton cancelled all her shows because she were ill.
Yeah, recently, after singing that song.
Yeah, that was vaccine.
No, stupid twat.
She gave £1 million to the Vanderburg, you know, Anderson Cooper's crew, the Vanderburg University, she gave it to. Dressed in that royal purple, can you remember?
Yeah.
Hey, I know these people are knocking on as well. Branson's wife were 80 on. I mean, that man, he wasn't that old. He were, I think he was 60 or 60, early 60s or whatever. Dolly Parton's in her 80s, I think. You know, they're knocking on these people. They're not young spring chickens.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, they do. They do pop it, but
it's not unusual. It's not in such
fast succession, though, I would have said.
Well, my father-in-law says such and such has died. Such and such. It's like he's naming people, and he always says he were jabbed. She were jabbed. I told him.
Yeah, but if you would have told him, he'd have got jabbed.
I know he would. He says that to me. Yeah, he says that to me. It's pretty sad, though, isn't it? It is pretty sad that. Do you know the stupid thing is, going back to what we were talking about right at the beginning, where when you woke up and stuff like that, the actual fact is you don't even want to be right.
Well,
in a way, you don't want to be right. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, you're battling with it, aren't you? Because there's a bit of you wants to be, but not when it.
But those people.
Not when
those
people's life's on the line.
Yeah, but let's just go back, say, 10 years before 2020. When you were telling people about 9/11 or what have you, it weren't the fact that you were trying to. What happens is you get into an argument because we've all been brought up to get your point across and be right. Mm. But you were actually wanting to show them what had really gone on. You weren't actually forcing ideas on them. You just wanted them to look. It weren't the fact that. But because of our nature as human beings, how we've been brought up, it became. You can't force me to support Liverpool. I support Leeds United. You know, it became like that.
Political argument, basically.
Yeah. Where people will deny that Gaza's been flattened, for instance, or somewhere has been flattened. Whereas Ukraine, where we're giving billions to, there's very little evidence of any buildings like that. You know, if they were showing me pictures of Ukraine and it looked like Gaza, I'd be going, fucking hell, it's flattened.
Because they make out there's like military charging each other, even if there's like some form of battle going on. It's fuck all. Yeah. Nothing.
Oh, you're not seeing it anyway, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But we spent 2 hours on that last week, so I don't really want to go on there. But all of these people, I reckon, and I'm not saying I'm going to do it because I've got enough on, but you could go through a lot of these people, these famous stars who are cancelling gigs, keeling over, blah, blah. And I'll tell you what, if you went through since 2021 and showed how many people have become ill or died or whatever, and then do the 4 years previously to 2021, I'll guarantee
even that fact. You just go with footballers.
Yeah.
Passing out.
Yeah.
Or sports people. Forget everything.
It's not even just that, Chris. A lot of them, I've noticed, and I don't watch a lot of sport now, but it's only from when my youngest tells me, oh, he's injured, he's not playing today, he's injured. You know, there's a lot more injuries now, whether people are softer or weaker or what, I don't know what it is, but it seems to a lot of people being off because of injuries as well, like physiology, not necessarily just, dropping dead because their organs are finishing off.
Yeah, but I mean, closing down. Immunity problems.
It's all the same thing, yeah.
Mm.
All part of the same thing. Just because it's your bones, it doesn't mean it's not linked to some kind of immune function.
Mm. Do you know, just to change the subject, you know, I was showing you the Empire magazines, right, the other week. It's totally off subject, but it's interesting. So I've been reading these, right? This is from 1994. I'm showing it to you. It's got Julia Roberts on the cover.
Right.
But I was reading the letters page, right, Fire. So, you know, people writing, and honestly, the beauty of the print and the texture,
feel of the magazines,
everything. Yeah. Look at me. Yeah. I mean, I still get Empire, right? But my missus subscribed me to it, and I do. I read it cover to cover, but I've got now a new interest in it. It's different. But if you just look at the letters page, right? So a letter, an average letter written in to this magazine, is like a massive fat paragraph. You know, someone writing in.
Yeah.
And also, you're talking before the internet. Letters page, look at the letters page there, right? Can you see it? Look at those letters. They're all a couple of paragraphs long with a paragraph answer. And just the way it's written as well.
Yeah, the way it's laid out on the pages as well.
Yeah.
It's laid out actually for people to read. I don't think the right things now for people to actually read.
Anymore. No, it's soundbiteable, isn't it? Everything
is.
Let me just read one. I'm not choosing one I've read before. I'm just the way it's written is different as well. Everything about it. So that's 1994. So that's what, 30 years ago. Dear Empire, picture the scene. It's set on the Unforgiven. Clint Eastwood and Richard Harris are having a quiet chat together with Dickie, telling Clint all about the film he made in 1985 called Mighty Zed, blah, blah, blah. It goes on for a massive paragraph, but it's written nicely. It's like a proper letter. Now, if you look at these ones in the New Empire, right, this is like from a month ago. Let me just show you the letters page on EFI. Look at the letters page compared to that one. That's the letters page. There. There. You see it?
Yeah, there's
not even a paragraph, are
they? Well, it doesn't even say letters, does it? It says comment.
Comment. So, yes, there's not even any proper letters.
No.
And this is one of the letters. You had me on Rick Moranis. Even if the movie turns out to be just him reading the phone book, I'm in. That's it. That's a letter. Compared to those other ones where it's a massive paragraph.
But you can see that in some of the comments that we get. I mean, some people write emails and it's a proper email. It's written like they used to write in letters.
But imagine going before the email. Yeah. You had to sit down with a piece of paper.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I mean, I'm not being a bloody Luddite and saying, you know, because it has, if things progress.
Yeah, everything isn't better than back then.
Yeah.
You know, everything. Yeah, this, what we do now, is great, but it's not good when it takes over your life and it's run by evil, satanic bastards.
Yeah. But, I mean, I suppose we lose.
As I found over the last few months, you can't get shit all done.
Technology's fantastic. When it goes wrong, it's fucking frustrating, isn't it?
Yeah.
But I mean, it's very easy, isn't it, to say, oh, I get it at work with some of the youngsters. There's one lad who worked there, and I used to talk to him about films. And he obviously had an uncle or a dad or whatever who'd go, yeah, we're much better in old days, and music were better, and films were better. Which, there is some truth to that. But like with technology, and you're not writing letters anymore, things have just changed, that's all.
This is their time. This isn't our time.
Yeah.
We're outdated.
When we were kids, our dad used to say the same thing to us. Oh, you don't know you're born, blah, blah, blah.
I say that to people sometimes at the, well, some people who came in, come in the clinic, met a couple of nice guys, one from Sheffield last week, actually. And we were talking, and just because when we were younger, we had a good time, didn't mean to say it were better.
No.
That were our time. That were our time.
About certain things, I'm sure.
No, but that were our time. Our dad moaned at us. And I've been really conscious of not doing that to my kids.
Yeah. Saying it's all shit now.
Yeah.
Because it's just different. And I always forget who it was who said it to us. And it was quite shocking. Was it Elijah Freeland? I can't remember. Who said, but when do you want to go back to?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, was it Alan Watts' missus? I think it might be.
Yeah, Alan Watts. Yeah, I need to contact Melissa, actually.
I listen to Melissa's stuff.
Yeah, she's really good. Yeah. She's got one of them really soothing voices, hasn't she?
Yeah. But it's true.
Like our great in Yorkshire voices.
abrasive northern voices. Yeah. But it's true. Although we moaned now, we moaned in the 90s. I'm not saying moaned is the wrong word, but, you know, we had the miners' strikes, like you said. Numerous wars. Yeah. They're always, look, in the 80s, right? Constant nuclear threat and you're going to die of AIDS. Yeah. That's pretty fucking harsh, isn't it?
I think every generation's had its, especially in the since the 20th century, every generation's had its trauma.
It's different. It's just different.
As soon as faster communications came out, like newspapers, telegraph, you know, all these things, telephone, radio, TV, it just sped the trauma up until 2020 when you've got it at your fingertips.
Yeah. If you couldn't communicate that quick, the news wouldn't hit you, would it? You'd just be there in your little village pondering on.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm sure they had their own traumas, you know.
Yes, I'm sure they did.
Water's been poisoned, this has happened. Yeah. Unfortunately, it's the world we're in. You've just got to accept that we're supposed to be traumatized while we're here, aren't we?
Well, I think the world is the machine, whatever it is that's running this, the biological entity or entities or thing, whatever it is, it's a trauma basin, isn't it?
Yeah.
If you're going to look at it from down on a miniature scale,
for whatever reason we're here,
if you stepped out of this world now, right, and you were looking in its consciousness, you'd be going, "What the fuck are them lot doing?" Wouldn't you? You'd look down and say, hey, it's a great game, this computer battleships, isn't it? Look at them all killing themselves.
Well, that's one of the theories, isn't it? That the netherworld after here, it doesn't have this heavy denseness to it. It doesn't have this feeling to it. And that's why we're here, because we want to feel something.
And maybe, I don't know, people like me and yourself, we're a bit lighter, if you like. I don't take it as serious. We try not to. Whereas somebody like Mark tends to take it a little bit more serious. but I think because we're all different, people. We all we spoke about this before. We all translate. I said you're an optimist. I'm a pragmatist. Mark's a what? Suicide nihilist. What I'm trying to say is we could see the same thing, right? But we'd react and decipher it totally differently. Mm. All three of us. To Mark, it'd be totally shit. To me, I'd look at it and think, well, it's just
not always.
You'd look at it and go, oh, look at them lovely buttercups and stuff like that. I want to make a daisy chain.
I don't think Mark's that bad. I don't think he's that bad. I think some of it's, I think he is.
But there you go, we're your optimism again.
some of it's just his character. It's his character, isn't it?
I think it's funny, but I think he's got a...
I think that is
very humorous, what how he portrays that. I tell you what. I did watch, Chris. It's something we'll talk about, actually. All these podcasters' YouTube channels coming back on. It's a bit eerie, really. And I was watching one of them that with Mark, you know, when his rants where he was in 2020 and 2021, where he used to stand there with knuckles going white and his microphone shaking. Yeah, yeah. That always reminds me when he was gripping that microphone. Do you know when Mr. Incredible gets out of his car? And gets angry and bends.
The door's just
door won't shut. Yeah. I always think of his microphone's going to look like that. When he pulls it out, it's going to have his handprints on it. But I listened to that one before we went on his podcast. So I think it was March, right? When it was a fantastic speech. He's got a way about him for talking as Mark, and especially when we were all angry. He could tell something had upset him. He might have been listening to them Boris Johnson series that maybe tipped him that way, because he mentions them, because he actually asks on that podcast to get in touch with us.
Oh, does it?
How mad's that? Yeah.
All right, I've never seen that.
Yeah.
When he calls
Johnson an Etonian twat.
Yeah, I did see that. Yeah.
Okay, brilliant. Yeah. And you can tell it. He's ad libbing that. He's not. He's not reading it from a script, you know. It's brilliant oration in my opinion. Do you know what? I saw a comment on one of his things. You know, Mark Devlin talks like a radio host. You know, then when they put them silly comments on, like the shrugging the shoulders,
that's a bad thing.
Like he's a trained BBC.
All right. He's accusing him basically.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Twat.
Well, fucking moron.
Well, there's a future world out there, Fire, somewhere, right?
Yeah.
And this is my eternal optimism. Where Mark is...
There's not wrong DJ, with eternal optimism, yeah.
He's a DJ radio host. Yeah. And say, for instance, Iconic run fucking the terrestrial TV shows. Do you know what I mean? it all just comes into that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. And next on TV is Corbett Report.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just got to 9 o'clock, and it's time for Mark Devlin's
radio hour.
9 o'clock news. That Boris Johnson, that fat Etonian,
I just sometimes think about that, you know. Yeah. And here's Matt Sergio telling us the real history of the Beatles.
Yeah. With special guest Mike Williams of Sergio Quay. It'd
be fucking beautiful, wouldn't it? You imagine
if
it all just got taken over.
I'd pay my TV license.
Oh, God.
Yeah, pay me TV license.
I'd double it for free. Imagine if you just told the truth. Imagine if the people that run this fucking country just had your best interests at heart.
It's 11 and o'clock. Told you the truth. And it's time for Richard Dior's Rich Planet.
Some viewers might find this disturbing.
Others might love it.
Yeah. It'd be fucking brilliant, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
If that's
how
the world works. And if you think, when Rich all had that TV show and it got pulled, didn't it?
Yeah.
So there was a brief.
I would say he was one of the first ones in the UK to do that, the Rich Planet TV.
Well, if you think, I literally have a very vivid memory of coming up to your house.
Edge TV, wasn't it? It was on Edge TV.
Edge TV.
Yeah.
You say, look at this guy. Look what he's talking about. And I was like, what?
It was on Sky. My exact words were to you were, this ain't lasting. And it actually did. It lasted a couple of years, to be fair.
Did it?
But it weren't just Richard that got it. He got his TV thing. He got his TV show pulled. I forget what he was talking about now. But he got one TV show, as in one show.
One episode.
Not the actual his show. Pulled one episode. But then Edge Media got pulled from Sky. Because obviously you're renting space, aren't you, like anything else?
Yeah.
When you rent a channel, you're renting a channel like you would on YouTube in a way, but you're not paying for YouTube.
And it was a different time then as well.
Yes, totally different. Well, and it's not that, I mean, in our lifetime, you're talking 2009, 2010.
Oh, really?
It's not actually that long ago in our lifetimes, yeah, when you think about, think back.
Especially seeing this last 5 years been speeded up for some reason.
but going back to those shows that have been turned on, you forget, like Mark's channel had like 60-odd thousand people he's got subscribed on there. James Corbett had, I don't know, 500,000.
It's weird seeing Corbett.
David Icke's is on there again. And he's got about 1 million, yeah. UK Column's got about 100,000.
It's weird that they all popped up overnight.
You could come up with hundreds of different reasons as to why, but then they never tell you why. Yeah. They'll never say, "Well, we've turned it back on because we were wrong," or "We've turned it back on because there's no actual reason to turn them on because these people thought they were gone."
Yeah.
So there's no actual rationale behind turning them on. They're not doing them a favour, are they?
No, it's odd. It's very odd.
And all of a sudden...
Is it the fact that AI's already ruined the show fight and it was some AI decision to go, well, we've now realised that what they talked about at the time isn't a lie, so we can now put it back on again?
Quite possibly.
Who knows? Mm. We'll never know, will we?
No.
Unless we have that dream future we talked about.
Yeah. Well, unless there's some sort of, which I doubt, but there's me now with optimism. Unless there's some kind of disclosure on why they turned them back on. Because turning them off were quite obvious. So you're speaking out against the
system,
the New World Order plan, the Empire. Anytime that Keir Starmer comes on TV, that music should play or... Mark Carney in Canada, the Canadian Prime Minister, or Trump, or Macron, or any of these fuckers, that Empire music should play. And that noise should be...
Or just canned laughter.
And every time they speak, you should have Family Fortunes. Like that. Because everything that comes out of the mouth is bullshit and wrong.
Yeah. I had another dream, and it was Oligarch Island, where all these fuckers are just tipped on an island.
Yeah,
and beat shit out of each other, like Lord of the Flies, but with politicians.
Yeah. Or maybe like what they do. We could have like this island where we all learn how to become sharpshooters.
No, I don't think you'd need to do that. Their egos are so mad. Just put them all together; they'll kill each other. We don't have to get involved. Just have a Nuremberg-style trial, and it just ships them to an island.
But I mean, even a Nuremberg-style trial wasn't a Nuremberg-style trial, were it? Because they let most of them go to America to run NASA.
Yeah, and then the ones who they beat the shit out of them to get them to confess.
Yeah. Ones who wouldn't tell them where all the real treasures and secrets were. They put them through Nuremberg trial.
Yeah. They just got a free pass to America, didn't they?
So even the thing that everybody goes back to, Nuremberg trials were bullshit.
Yeah.
How many films have they made about that?
We haven't made any about Nuremberg trials.
No, they made a few about Nuremberg. Who is it we're in? Him who shot that woman, what's it called? He were in a series, weren't they? Discovery. I think so, yeah.
Do you know that film? That film's
there's one recent. The guy that did Freddie Mercury, he's playing in one.
That's a new one, yeah.
So every now and again
Like they have it's called Nuremberg, isn't it?
Yeah, they've got to regurgitate the bullshit.
Yeah. And when you think they're selling something good there, that there's a Nuremberg... But they're selling a bullshit story.
But also, look at what it sells. World War II sells the concentration camp story. Even if you're not talking about it, that's why we fought it. And at the time, you didn't fight it for that reason. They weren't fighting for that reason.
It didn't matter. They're still selling it, aren't they?
Yeah.
They're still selling the fact that World War II was for the right reasons, to get rid of some evil bastards that were trying to take over the world. It sells all that, even if...
World War One were the best one, where they had... babies on bayonets, where they're all in Germany.
No, they weren't. No, they were on the helmets with the fucking
bayonet. The actual propaganda campaign was called Babies on Bayonets.
Yeah, but it weren't the ones on. It was on the helmets. They were running around with them on their helmets,
and they looked like gorillas, didn't they? As well,
But then they used that same one in the first Iraq War. Yeah. Threw the babies on the cold, hard floor. Do you remember that one?
Yeah.
It turned out it was a fucking Saudi prince's niece who were doing it. She made out she were a nurse.
Yeah.
she said the troops walked into the hospital, took the babies out of the incubator and threw them on the cold, hard floor.
Yeah.
I mean, you could not dream up a more horrific scenario.
No.
Then a load of soldiers ripping him out of incubator and throwing him on cold, hard floor. But Bush regurgitated that over and over again from that woman.
Who Anne Blair.
She was a nurse. Anne Blair.
Oh, no, sorry. No, but that was the second one. But they still brought back out in the second one.
Oh, yeah. But then it was a fact that was a Saudi prince's niece.
Yeah.
But by then it was too late. They'd already gone into fucking war and they were firing.
No, it was a Kuwaiti prince's niece, wasn't it? Not the Saudis.
Was it? Sorry.
Yeah.
Right.
They were in Kuwait. It happened. Yeah.
Not fucking same, aren't they?
That's what people used to say about us.
I know.
But
by the time anyone realised it was too late, they were sending cruise missiles down chimneys.
Oh, it's too late. No, they were
targeted bombing.
Turn left at 24/7 shop. But down past the bus.
Round roundabout.
Turn roundabout. And then go past.
Take your first left.
Yeah. All day wicker stand. Was it all night wicker stand on police squad? What was it?
I don't know. What was that?
It was just at that shop that we're always opening. It was selling wicker. All night wicker stand stall or whatever it was. Yeah. But yeah, so I mean, but then right up to October 7th, the same bullshit's been told.
Yeah.
People got killed. Innocent people, no doubt. But it weren't the story. It weren't the story that we've been told. And they were actually, what were they actually saying? They were putting babies in ovens.
Yeah, I think
that's said to put babies in ovens. Yeah. That's babies on bayonets. It's the same story.
And do you remember that story? And it had that girl, like an attractive young lass, and she kidnapped her from
Germany.
They'd raped her and drove her around on the back of a truck naked. I mean, you can't think of anything more fucking Mad Max horrific. It's beyond Mad Max, actually. It's as horrific as it gets. Mm. That's what these fuckers do. They just dream up these horrific stories. And probably no human, unless you're...
They don't even dream them up, Chris. They just use the same story, just told differently. Yeah. Just like they're doing films.
Then it gets found out it's a lie and it just continues anyway.
Yeah. It gathers its own life, doesn't it? Just like, say, Pearl Harbor. Pearl Harbor, obviously horrendous for people who were involved. But what they totally forget is they knew it would happen. That puts a whole different spin on what actually happened.
Everything. Changed everything. And also, you would think the government or whatever the fucking all these people are.
Murdering bastards.
These murdering bastards. What they should do, instead of encouraging revenge, they should stop revenge, shouldn't they? That shouldn't be the answer. Vengeance. You know, your country shouldn't be going after vengeance. It should be going after, you know, as peaceful a life and saving as many lives as possible.
Yeah, but Chris, that means you're a pushover.
Even if something happened, right, and all the country were raging, what you should have is a leader at the top going, everybody calm down. Let's look at this logistically. One person or a group of people have been murdered. This does not give us the right to destroy a sovereign country. That's what I'd like to fucking hear, wouldn't you? Not like, let's go get the bastards.
But again, we live in a world, even Queer Stalin, for instance, who's as camp as camp can be, soy boy, right? I saw him punching that punch bag.
I saw that. I was just going to say that.
Punch bag won.
Is that when he showed put that Polish Russian fucking asshole in it? Yeah. And then you were like,
limp wristed artifacty.
But when you think, right, when you think, our dad's like our generation, and our generation actually, we were brought up on vengeance, weren't we? Death Wish, yes. Clint Eastwood, Magnum Force.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, all these like anti heroes that everything were finished with a bullet.
Even Stallone's films and the man.
What do you mean, even Stallone's? He was more guilty than anybody.
Not Johnny Rambo.
Yeah. And everything with vengeance. I mean, when he blew up that Vietnamese guy, imagine now when you think
he was evil, him Chris, that Vietnamese guy.
The poor Vietnamese got fucking trounced by America, and then Rambo goes back for seconds in 80s, and slowly screws that bomb on his fucking bow and arrow while that guy is there trying to shoot, and just goes, tchoom! And he goes, and everyone, all us, like me included, by the way, in 80s, like, yeah, Rambo, go on.
Yeah. How dare that Vietnamese,
blew that Vietnamese guy to fucking pieces.
And then when you start reading books like Colonel Prout's book, where he told, I remember reading this part of the story, this was going back to when we were for our first reading books like that. You're talking early 90s here. Mm. And he said in the Viet Cong, what they did were in the villages, they put like a pole with a red button right in the middle. And if the Viet Cong came into the village, they had to run into the middle of the village and press this button and then helicopter gunships would come up and destroy Viet Cong. And if they didn't press it, that means they were part of Viet Cong and they just carpet bombed the entire village.
It reminds you of witches who used to get dropped in fucking water, and if they floated, they were all right. No, unless... sorry, if they floated, they were a witch. Sorry, I got it wrong. If they floated, they were a witch and they got murdered. If they sank to bottom, they were all right.
So if they could swim, they were murdered.
Can't fucking win. Can't win.
What happens if they had a third nipple on the knee? So, I mean, that's come up. So that was dreamt up by a human being, right, that meant that them people, they didn't press that red button. So you got Viet Cong aiming AK-47s at them saying, if you press that red button, we're just going to machine gun you all and set fire to your huts. And if you don't press it, you've got Americans that say, because you haven't pressed it and we know Viet Cong have been there, that means you're part of Viet Cong.
And look at the Vietnamese forgave the Americans for all that. I'm not saying they've totally forgiven them, by the way.
But it turned out well for America, didn't it? Look at them all. They're all drug addicts, 20 stone overweight.
Yeah, I've been to Vietnam. It's beautiful. Lovely people as well.
Yeah.
And I think they refer to it as the, I forgot how they terminologize the Vietnam War, like it's the Vietnam War to us. To them, it's the aggressive attack from the Americans.
Well, that's how it is. Everyone knows that. Everyone knows that, don't they? Yeah. I mean, I've got books on not just a European war in World War II, but the islands, the Japanese islands, and they were horrendous places to fight. They were called meat grinders, right? The American Marines and that called them meat grinders. But imagine, right, let's just say you've got 10,000 American soldiers landing on one island and you might have 50,000 Japanese. All the Japanese got killed, or the majority of them, and maybe a few thousand Americans got killed, for argument's sake. Yet we're awful for the Americans. Imagine what it were like for Japanese.
Yeah. But we just see the American version.
The American version of... And that's what Clint Eastwood did something really... Because he did the Iwo Jima.
Flags of Iwo Jima. He did two films,
didn't he? He did it from the Japanese perspective. How accurate that was, I don't know. And from the American perspective, where they put the flags up. And he actually showed
the American, really nice. The American one was where they faked that famous flag.
Yes, flag ball, yeah.
But there was no one there, so they redid it, didn't they?
Most of the people that did the first one died on the island. Yeah. A lot of them died, or either on the island or in other battles afterwards.
There's a statue of that as well, isn't there?
Yeah. So these people who the class as heroes, probably if you interviewed them after the event, they'd realise, or some of them might have done. Mm. I'm sure there's a lot of them that realised what they were fighting for wasn't... In fairness, a lot of these young people at 19-year-old don't know what they're fighting for.
No, you cannot blame the soldiers for that. They've been propagandized to fuck.
Yes.
Oh, they've just gone into it for a job, a lot of them. Yeah.
Yeah, but, yeah, I don't know how we got onto that subject, to be honest with you.
But if we
got onto it, I suppose meat grinder is a good way that this whole thing is a meat grinder. And I can say that pragmatically. You'd say it optimistically. And Mark would say, yeah, it is a fucking meat. But what I mean is, it all comes back to the same place. Because if you look at what actually goes on, every week, I'll guarantee you, every week, people listening to this will have some kind of mini traumas happening in their life. Mm. I can't remember that being like that when we were kids. That's a modern thing that they've cranked up, you know? I'm not saying big traumas, like somebody being injured or dying or what have you. There's those as well. And all the traumas that are on the news that people read and watch and stuff like that. And all the fucking doom scrolling. It's called doom scrolling for a reason, right? Imagine how much trauma's in people's life.
Yeah, I tell you what. I went to, my missus is doing a degree. I went to the college today to see a little exhibition they had going on.
Right.
So we went down there to have a look. And I was waiting for them because I was working and I got there early on my bike. And I was just in the foyer of the college, the university. All the pamphlets, I was looking at, you know, and they have pamphlets for it, whatever. It's all about, are you an alcoholic? Are you taking loads of drugs? Are you depressed? Are you a manic depressive? Da, da, da. I looked up, there was a screen and it said suicide across it.
Eh?
Yeah. I mean, it was saying, have you thought about suicide? But in block light letters, suicide. Have you thought about suicide? So they're putting these things in people's heads before they're in the fucking heads.
I know.
And no disrespect, but Lou tells me about a lot of the students. A lot of them are very, they're a bit melted.
Fucked.
Well, no.
Yeah. Snowflake.
Yeah, but they've been created.
Oh, of course they have, yeah.
I went to college for. I don't remember seeing all these leaflets.
Listen, about, this one for anti-woke, Chris.
I don't remember seeing all these leaflets about suicide and are you depressed and are you manic? Yeah.
They didn't exist, Chris. It didn't exist. Listen, this for anti-wokeness. My youngest, who just were just clanking about inside of me there, he said to me, it was absolutely pissing down at weekend, right? Absolutely. And he said, I think this weather's woke. I said, what do you mean? He says, I think this torrential rain's identifying as a drought. That was quite good, isn't it? Not bad for 14, that, is it? Which, when you think about it, that's true. They're still saying that last week or the week before, that the reservoirs in Sheffield are only 65% full. But they're probably only ever 65% full at that point.
Yeah. Just saying fucking
just never told anybody.
Yeah.
This could, or maybe they're 67% full normally. And, it's the lowest it's ever been. It's too
full. Well, no one knows what they were. But well, let me tell you something. A number, aren't they?
We're not fucking empty now.
It'll be soon when all fucking water's drained off into...
yeah, when somebody put out.
Lying bastard.
But that is one of the big lies. We live in the wettest country, probably in Western Europe, at least, yeah. Right?
Well, where you are, especially. Where you are, you've got one of the highest rainfalls in England.
Imagine though, Chris, let's just say it was the British Water Board, or even the English Water Board, and all the counties worked together, and the county that had the most water collected it all for the counties that didn't have the most water, and piped it all to them. How about that one?
Yeah.
No, what we'll do is we'll sell it all off. We'll sell it all off to piranha CEOs, right, or to corporate entities who'll fight each other and charge extortionate amounts for water.
And the main goal is to feed the shareholder.
Yes, that's in the articles. That and any company, any limited company or any PLC, the articles state that the company's there to. Work
the
for the shareholders. That's who they're answerable to, the shareholder. So the CEO's paid, especially Yorkshire Water or something like that, hundreds of thousands, if not millions of pounds, to work for the shareholders.
For doing the job badly. Well, he's not doing his job badly, actually, because the shareholder's getting the money. Mm-hmm. So he's doing the right, he's doing what he's supposed to do, isn't he?
You've got to say she as well, because it's a all she right, in Yorkshire.
Then, all right.
It's a parasite et.
Paracet,
yeah. But yeah, but that sums up the actual. If 2020 didn't sum it up, the coming next one, which is they're going to use global climate warming change as some kind of whether it's global climate warming change makes you ill, global climate warming change spreading more viruses, global climate warming change fucked up food supply up. Global climate warming change, there's no water left. Global climate warming change, it's fucking all air up. But it didn't stop them at whatever it was in Brazil, cutting loads of rainforest down to make a road, so COP, whatever it is, flying all the helicopters and private jets and big, massive cars that they all trounced up in for a week. And then Stalin, soy boy, he's now flown directly over to, is it Africa or somewhere like that? He's flown to.
What use is that twat going anywhere? To do what?
Oh, just God, fucking I see that.
Mince him out.
Aren't I cool? I play.
One thing I will say to
Fat Boy Slim.
One thing I will say to as a positive is, and I've said this before, is we if we have a win, we will never know, will we? We don't know because it'll be covered up, just like everything else is covered up. So never
my view
know.
Is, I think we give these people far too much credit.
No, I do. I agree. I think we have a lot of wins, but we never know. The revolution will never be televised. We'll just we just hear the shit, and we wallow in the shit as well, unfortunately. But there is wins, and we'll never. But we don't know what they are. They're not pinpointed. Are they? You never hear anyone, including us, go, "We defeated that one because it's gone away." By the time it's gone away, you won't realise it's gone away.
I don't think it's as a defeat. I don't think it's a defeat. I know we're having a conversation here. I don't think it's a... I think it's just a derailment more than a defeat because they will just keep... The one thing that this machine
does... The one thing they have is patience.
It just keeps trying. Whether it's patience or not, they'll just keep... Because these MPs are transient. this yeah. week it's these walk lot, next week it might be Farage, next week it might be somebody, another Johnson or another Tony B. Lyer. Or
two steps forward, one step back, innit?
Yeah, Treason May, you know.
It's a good for instance,
Treason May.
Like, one thing is that it's like the 2030 thing, that suddenly became 2040, didn't it?
Yes, yeah.
So that was possibly a quiet win.
Or a delay. They could have hit the target, and now they've moved on to a different plan, which is 2040.
Yeah, maybe 2030 is already done.
Yeah.
I think there was even a 2020, wasn't the fire?
Yeah.
It did start with 2020, didn't it?
Yeah. No, it wasn't 2020. It was always 2030. Yeah. But I think they moved it to 2050. I think, things were talked about in 2050. But what you do know is that in 2100, there's going to be a lot less people. And that'll be what, three or four generations away.
And in between then and now, we'll be propagandized to fuck and no one will have a clue what we're happening now.
No.
They'll have all the footage and all the documentation to say that COVID were a devastating
disease. They won't need it then. There's going to be nobody left. That's me, Mr. Pragmatist. Because you can see what's happening. You know, when you've got people like Stanley Johnson saying, we only want 15 million people in Britain or 10 million. You know, they're not saying that because he's guessing it. He's saying that because he worked for John D. Rockefeller III. You know?
How many were on them, those things, what do they call those things in America? Do you remember the things, the ones that got blown up in like 2020?
Oh, the stones. Yeah.
The guidance stones.
The perpetuity.
Georgia guidance stones.
Yeah, it said something like 500 million, didn't it?
I can't remember.
Yeah, it was something like 500 million. Yeah, in perpetuity. Yeah, they blew it up with a missile.
All the conspiracies in stone got blown up.
But nobody knew how that missile got there, Chris.
No one knew how the stones got there.
But they got there.
And all those conspiracy nutters went on about for years and they blew the fuckers up.
Yeah. Weird that, innit?
It was weird.
Another coincidence. Yeah. A lot of coincidences, isn't there? All right, then. Should we call that first hour ado?
Yeah.
Why not? Trying to think. As I said, I'm not going to put this on video. This will just be audio. I'll probably put this on YouTube, actually. We'll test a bit of YouTube. Chris will do a bit of a doodle woodle and I'll put it on there.
We didn't talk about how to. I don't even think we said COVID, did we?
I'm gone past that one. Yeah. If they're turning all these podcasts on now, I'll just keep putting Odd One on and putting feelers out. Dave, with that live one we did the other day when my internet were actually working that day, about 2 weeks ago, Dave put it on his. And apparently we talk over him a lot, apparently, his viewers said. Yeah, that were my thoughts as well. I don't give a shit. But I think what people don't understand is when we have some of our guests on now, they're more like mates, aren't they? You know, like we talk, where I will talk over you talk over me more, but we'd sort of...
We're not BBC presenters.
No, but it's not that. It'd be like inviting your mates round to your house. You don't just talk for 2 minutes, then somebody else talks.
No, we've got no script, have we?
No. You know, but it's not just that. We're not, when you might have something interesting to say, for instance, and you know, if you don't say it there and then, it'll just go. But so it's like having your mates around sometimes when you're talking. It's not, I don't like it thinking I'm interviewing somebody. I'm not an interviewer. You're not an interviewer.
No.
So yeah, if people on that, his chat thing, but is, listeners, it's interesting that our listeners didn't say that. Some do say it sometimes, but our listeners didn't say that. But his listeners said that. They were obviously used to his, because Dave talks like, does like monologues, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Or he's interviewed by people. Whereas ours, I don't want it to be an interview.
When you say people said something, how many are you talking?
Quite a few of them, actually. Four or 10? Five. Apparently they called us Beavis and Butthead.
Apparently they did.
That's fair enough. I'm not asked, yeah.
No, but when you put it into perspective, how many people have watched that video?
Oh, I don't know.
None
of it offended me. I'm quite interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is you have to put it into.
I can't get. Do you know what? I struggle to get offended now. I look at it and I think, well, sometimes I'll have a look and think, I wonder if they've got their own channel. No. Weird that. None of them's got their own channel. Or there's certainly no videos on there. Willing to comment and be brave. So what's the fucking point? They've got no to say. Otherwise they'd say it, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
That's my thoughts on that one. And even but ones that do have the channels.
If four people said something and say 500 people have watched it,
I agree. Yeah,
you have to put it into perspective.
Yeah, I agree. I think people, though, when they see not just anybody, they think you're actually chasing sort of fame. And I've got no interest in that.
Well,
absolutely zero fucking interest in that.
I can honestly say we've never had a conversation where this will get us more views.
No. Yeah, we should put this on that gets more views. In fact, the only one that got us more views were that one that BBC threatened us with a call letter.
Tanking
and I bricked it because it had gone to like 400,000 or 500,000 or whatever it were on. And you could see it going round like...
Yeah, but we've never even had a conversation of that'll get us loads of... I'm trying to think. I even said it might bring a different audience. I don't think we've had
that. No, I've never said it like that. No. Not even. No. It's just nice. I tell you what's nice for me is going on to say, speak to Mike Williams. I like it while we're speaking to Mark Devlin or even Crow when Crow were on. You know, there's a few people that you've listened to all the. It's nice to go on and meet them guys. And they're just normal blokes, you know, or women. You know, Ilana Freeland's another one. You know, a lot of these people we've listened to for quite a few years. Or heard about, or read the books, or whatever it might be. I met somebody at the clinic the other day, and he went, I said, it's just me, man. I get bollocked by a wife, nagged by kids. I said,
told you you're pricked by me.
Yeah. But what I'm trying to say is, it's we're nothing, are we? Nothing.
No, nobody is. Everyone's the same.
No, I find it. That's what I mean. You've got to leave your ego to one side. It's not about. It's about finding. Oh, another thing as well, before I forget. You are actually having your portrait painted by Jake Fearn. It's on UK Column, isn't it?
Yeah. 40 minutes of it, isn't it?
Yeah.
I will never watch it.
No, I won't either. Well, I did start watching it. We're quite good, actually. I actually thought, right, I actually said, Mum, what the fuck have I got him involved with? That's what I said. It's what came into my head. You sat there, talk to somebody while having your portrait done.
Yeah, surreal. It's quite surreal. I'm going
to
the...
you enjoyed that, actually, didn't you?
No, I really enjoyed it. Jake's lovely.
Yeah.
And I'm going to the private view. I don't actually know what's going on, but I'm going to the thing on Thursday.
Yeah. Another arty-farty, limp-wristed fuckers. Loads of them there, weren't
they? And then the
sat
gallery...
with a finger out and a drink.
Checking services for dust.
Yeah.
And then he's got his exhibition the week after, the Righteous Brothers exhibition.
In fairness, checking surfaces for dust, our dad used to do that, and he used to come in smelling of goats, sheep, cows. Yeah, and he checked surface for dust, didn't he?
I spend a lot of time at home these days, and I said to Lou the other day, she came in, and I went, don't walk on the floor, I've just mopped it. And I stopped myself, I went, I can't believe I just fucking said that.
No. Did he have one of them pinnies on? Like Nora Batter?
Well, I can't remember what it was. I had a Louisa for you, and she said, have you told Dom that? And I said, not yet, but I will do. And then I forgot.
Remember it for part two.
She said, are you going to remember it on your podcast? And I said, no, yeah, but I won't mention it.
Ask her, she'll remember it.
She's not here at a minute, she's upstairs.
Yeah.
One thing she did say made me laugh, you know, with a college course, because my missus is super paranoid about everything. And they were inspecting the work, basically. And she's really stressed about it. Oh, how are they going to check me work? She's always stressed about work or college or whatever. And I said to her on the phone, I said, you know, we work, right? You've worked there for 10 years now and you're at college for two, whatever. I said, what's actually ever happened? Nothing. Has anything ever happened? Have you ever got in really big trouble over anything? No. So then she rings me. Oh, they did the inspection, the college thing. I said, how did it go? He said, oh, he really liked it. He's, you know, they really liked what I'd done. I said, what did you actually expect him to say? Should I expect him to say, why are you wasting his time, you stupid old bitch?
But you just know that has actually gone through her head, don't you?
Yeah, yeah. Must be exhausted. Oh, I know what it was. I know what it was. This morning, she says to me, I had a fucking horrible dream last night. So all the dreams, right? She'll go, what do you think that means? And I'll go, insecurity, insanity, paranoia. Oh, it's always the same kind of scenario. So she said she had a dream, right? That she were on a train naked and she were obese, bombing down a train track. With loads of people around, and she kept catching a glimpse of herself in a mirror, naked, obese, and on a train. And I said, you know, when you think about that, it's even worse than you think. So you're on a journey, you don't know where you're going. you're naked, and you've gained loads of weight for some reason, surrounded by strangers. I mean, you couldn't get any more fucking paranoid.
And Summer's party.
With anal beads hanging out for us. I don't even know how to. I mean, you don't need
where
to.
Where do you start with that one?
You don't need to be Joseph and his technical dream cut to work that one out. And you can't even blame me because I'm not like a negative, you know, nasty husband or anything.
I tell you who else has passed away, Chris. I mean, she was in her 90s. Can you remember that lady who had told that story about who was married to Clement Freud, Jill, whatever she was called. I forget what she was called now. She was part. She lived with, who's Narnia guy?
C.S. Lewis.
C.S. Lewis at that house, can you remember?
Yeah.
She passed away this week as well. Oh, she was in her 90s, in fairness. She was in her 90s. Yeah. Jill, what was she called? Jill Fluitt or something like that, she was called.
I don't know if I mentioned it on here. I can't remember or I just told you, but me and Lou had a massive conversation about Shirley Valentine the other day. Right. And then the next day I saw online that she died. And I mean, I've got no reason to talk about Shirley Valentine. I don't even know how we started a conversation. We ended up having this massive conversation. I think I was saying, I don't know how we got on the subject, but I was saying, imagine that, and again, that film will have destroyed marriages, won't it?
Yeah, 100%, yeah.
No matter which, and it's quite a good film as well, by the way, it's quite funny. But it will
have... Pauline Collins that died?
Yeah, yeah. I think so, I think that's her name. But it was literally, we had that conversation, I saw it the next morning. And I was saying that film, even though it was a good film, and was a perfectly good actress, etc.
Yeah,
but it will have ruined marriage because if you think about it now, the husband was just a normal bloke going to work and coming home, but she made out like my life's really boring. My life's boring. I like having a boring life. But then she goes off and swans off to Spain or Greece, or wherever, and has an affair.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? You were giving it the okay, want it to go off and have an affair if your husband were a bit boring.
Yeah, but
or vice versa.
But the actual story of what boring was as well. And it were around the same time where they started putting all that shit in magazines, weren't it? About if your man didn't do this for you. If your man, I don't know, didn't buy you this present, then he's a twat.
The Michaels are always in there. They're always there. And not just aimed at women to hate men, vice versa, both ways.
Aimed at men as well to make them feel
inadequate
or whatever.
Destroy relationships. Bottom out. And I remember saying to you, it might even before we started this podcast, I remember watching the show with Lou, and it was meant to be a comedy, and this woman was cheating on her husband, or her husband was cheating on his wife. And it was that, he had that music in that little...
happy music at background.
Yeah, it didn't look like it were all a bit silly. Dropped a phone up floor and stuff, and like, made it all a bit clumsy and silly, but actually doing the nasty on a spouse.
Well, they tend to use that, what they call Aniston, Jennifer Aniston out of Friends, on these type of rom-coms, as they call it. But they're all about somebody breaking up, aren't they?
Yeah, they got nasty. There's that one called Bad Mums where I think the mums are all on fucking coke and stuff.
Right.
I might be making that up actually. I don't know if that's true. But
that's nearly as bad as Lou's naked train ride journey.
No, but you know what I mean. They actually made
a dream about all these bad mums are all on coke.
No, but they made a show called Bad Mums, and you've seen clips of it. The mums are terrible, you know. But it's giving the okay in it just to be.
I had one of those sort of things. I was taking my union to football practice last week, and I was thinking, as you do. When I was driving down, I'm thinking, you don't hear of people saying they've got frozen shoulder anymore. And then 2 days later, somebody told me the wife had frozen shoulder because it's quite a thing with frozen shoulder. Soldier. I used to say that when I was a kid, you know.
You
get shoulder and soldier. I used to say it. Right. Anyway, frozen shoulder, that's better. so they used to have a frozen shoulder and it's part of perimenopause and the menopause to get it a lot.
Right.
But somebody was telling me their wife had it. They went to hospital. Had a saline injection in it, right? And they got sepsis from it. But that were 2 days, that were like a day after I'd had that. When do you ever think about that? You know what I mean?
Well,
why would a frozen shoulder enter your mind?
Classic synchronicity, isn't it?
Yeah. But for what? What is it? You're tapping into some sort of fucking matrix coding? Somebody sending you a message? Is it?
Well, I suppose.
Dom Jolly taking piss?
You were seeing a future traumatic experience for someone else.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Fuck those. Anyway, all right, we'll leave it there. We're going to only do about 50 minutes now. We've done about an hour and 16.
I know, I've been on the fucking ghost since 7 o'clock this morning. I've been out of the building for 13 hours.
That's no good. Your shed's missing you. It's calling. Yeah. I can hear it.
It is. I'm busy now as well. Yeah. I've got some calendars left as well, by the way, if anyone wants one.
Yeah, for 2025.
No, 2026. I don't know how many I've got left.
If you miss your wife's anniversary, it's his fault.
Yeah, you can blame me.
How can you miss your wife's anniversary? Ooh. That's my mindset, isn't it, that? If you what miss you your mean? Wife's anniversary.
All right, your wife.
Your anniversary. Yours, yeah. Up in Yorkshire bloke, isn't that?
The only one who cares.
Because if you had that thought in your mind, you wouldn't even be thinking about it anyway, let alone writing it on a fucking calendar.
When I first met Lou, right, she said to me, I bet you don't even know when my birthday is, dear. And I went, you shouldn't talk like that, but I went, yeah, it's August 10th, when's mine? And she went, you didn't think that through, did you? And you went hers, was she? Yes, didn't know.
Yeah. Did it hurt you?
No.
Funnily enough. I should have been pissed off that it didn't annoy you.
Yeah. No, the reason I knew hers is because it's the day before one of my mates who I grew up with as a kid. Right. So I always remember it. As it's day before.
It's day before this other bird.
Day before a bird who I actually like.
It's the same day as this bird I nearly married. Yeah, yeah. That'd have gone down well.
Exactly, etc.
Yeah, blah, blah, blah. All right then, thanks for tuning in. If you join us in part two, we'll see you there. If not, we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye. Of the earth.